Going to be a good night. I hope those of you on the internet have already made your popcorn so you don't have to get up and miss all the good stuff that's going to happen tonight. You know, it's kind of interesting when the Lord wants us to do something, and it's not that we don't, but it's like, are you sure you want me to say that? So it's going to be one of those nights. It's going to be really cool. Hope you guys are going to pay attention. If someone's falling asleep beside you, just nudge them, so that they could catch the essence of everything that God wants us to get tonight. Amen. I get excited about coming to ABC. People are like, gee whiz, you have to go to 3 services on Friday night. Gosh, you never get to go out and do anything fun. Yeah. Our church, we only have to go to church one time a week or, you know, twice a week. You guys are always in church. I'm like, yes. Praise the Lord, we think that's fun. We're getting ourselves ready. And they can't understand that, you know. It's not something that we do, it's who we are. Amen. We don't just want to hear about the gospel, we want to live it. We want to be that living epistle to all men and all women, right? Amen. And I always expect something new. There's always fresh manna. So it's never boring or dull to me. I hear the same word over and over and over. Then I say, Lord, let me dig deeper. Give me more meat. You know, whoever gets tired of eating food, raise your hand. I'll minister to you afterwards. Every day you're eating food. You're eating food. Don't you get tired of eating food? I never get tired of eating the Word of God. Amen. It refreshes me. It energizes me. It gives me life. It sustains me. It is everything that I need. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of where? The mouth of God. Amen. And I know there's some newcomers on the internet, and we want to minister topics that are going to be good for everybody, so everyone can get a hold of it, and then run towards the mark of your high calling. But there are times when God wants us to minister in the flow of what the Holy Spirit is doing because we're in the end times. So he must think that you're ready because he wants me to give some prophetic words tonight. Last week I was operating the gift of the evangelist, switched that hat, now I have the prophetic hat on. When we sit under an apostle and a prophet. It's not very many prophets will be apostles, not very many apostles will be prophets, but you have a 2-for-1. So we get doubly blessed at ABC because God has raised up Pastor Joshua, and then Pastor Sarah, she moves in that wonderful gift of teaching to help us understand the Word of God and exemplifying the fruit of the Spirit. And she has so many other gifts that God uses her, you know, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, all the things that the leaders of this church have that have been imparted into me. I feel very honored and blessed to receive from each one that teaches. Amen. And so as we looked at each other's giftings and what God has given each of us, there are things that each of you have that I wish I had because it's beautiful. We're a body, and what one doesn't have, the other doesn't. We all connect like puzzle pieces, making the big picture, and that's why we are a body here at ABC. Isn't that great? I need you. You need me. We need each other, and we're all doing it for the kingdom. Amen? So the things I'm going to discuss and talk about is to show you how God wants us each to be. It's not about someone's better than somebody else or someone's, you know, more spiritual. God wants everyone to grow in this manner because he needs all of us in the end times to be his warriors, to be his ambassadors of the kingdom of God. He needs us all to be equipped. And so how should we be able to know who we should be if we don't have an example? So we read about Jesus. We look at him and we say, I want to be like him. I want to do that. I want to cast out demons. I want to do miracles. I want to be like Benny Hinn. I want to be like Reinhard Bonnke. When you see 100,000 people in the stadium, it's like a sea of people, and get them all saved. Wow, that would be exhilarating. That would be considered a fun night. I think that would be fun anyway. I think it's really fun when another Reinhard Bonnke meeting, they brought a coffin in and the dead men got raised up. Hallelujah. Right? Well, we've had the dead raised here at ABC too. They didn't have to bring their coffin. Okay? We have a lot of fun here. And people who don't understand those things, it's because of Hosea 4:6. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. I know last week, a good friend of ours went home to be in heaven. And they celebrated his homegoing. Of course, on earth, we miss him. And we pray for the family, for comfort for their loss. But in the end times, I'm going to look at my brothers and sisters who have gone home as a celebration that they get to see Jesus and be with him every day. That's exciting. And why would I be sad for them? You know? So God's changing my mindset. God's helping me get thicker skin, and he wants each of us to. Because God used Pastor Joshua, he probably didn't want to say this, but the Holy Spirit said it through him that there will be many people that will be going home to heaven in these end times. Many people, many Christians will be going home. And that bore witness in my spirit because another prophet years ago, I don't even know if Pastor Joshua knows this, Kenneth E. Hagin had prophesied that as well. And then, you know, before the end times would come, many Christians would go home to heaven. And I was wondering why. I mean, why wouldn't he want them to stay here and fight with us, you know? And, well, maybe they're promoted. They have to go help set up for the, you know, wedding feast. You know, they have to go whatever. So that's a great promotion, I think. And then there's others that need to stay here and stay alive and remain and get raptured. Okay, so everyone has their assignments, but everyone can stay and remain if they're taught. But some are called home. Or some have a lot of battles and they didn't make it. I mean, we don't judge. We don't judge why someone went to heaven. We just celebrate that they're now with Jesus. Do you know what I'm saying? But we could learn lessons, if that makes sense. Not judging, but learning lessons. And another good friend of ours that we've known for many years went home to be with the Lord today. Now, when I heard that a friend of ours died last week, the minute I heard it, I heard the Lord speak to me in my mind, not an audible voice. And I heard these words, get ready for the slew of funerals that has just started. Meaning the prophecy that Pastor Joshua had prophesied has now started. And I thought, gee, I don't want to be like, I should invest in Kleenex because I'd be crying all the time if I hear, you know, my loved ones and friends dying and, you know, and then the Lord says, don't be sad. Think of it in another way. Get yourself ready for the end times. So tonight, part of my job is how God helped me get ready. He wants us all to get ready. We have to get thick skin. Not that I'm not sad for his family or the ones that he left behind. You know what I'm saying? Because it's, you know, death and separation of a family is never easy as you that have lost loved ones like I have. And we go through that grieving process. But we can't grieve for long anymore. We don't have time. You see, we are on the battlefront. We're on the front lines. And many soldiers will be fighting and their buddies will fall and die right beside them. They can't stop and cry, oh my gosh, what happened? No, they have to keep fighting because if they don't, then that enemy will infiltrate our people and our people will be slaughtered. We don't have time. Soldiers don't have time to grieve. Soldiers don't have time to mourn a loss. I'm not saying let's not be human. But what I am saying is that God is strengthening us as soldiers and as warriors, not just as ambassadors. We have to realize that we are in this battle. The battle's between the light and the dark. We were born on this earth called battleground. And the devil wants to take away everything that God loves. He wants to take away everything that we love, to steal, kill, and destroy. And we're not going to let him. And Pastor Joshua was talking about the waves in the church and the history of all the things that have been happening in the church and revivals and things like that. And then we went through a wave of cleansing, then a wave of grace, and then there's going to come a wave of the Spirit of God or a wave of dominion, godly dominion. And the Lord said to me, that wave is those that do not take dominion will be dominated. Which one do you want to be? A or B? You ever been oppressed? You ever been mistreated? You ever been betrayed? Stabbed in the back? And if you haven't, you've seen other people go through it. It's not fun, is it? That's being under the devil's yoke, under his bondage. God doesn't want his people to be there. That's not what we were created to be. We were created to be the bosses. We were created to be the supervisors of this planet, to be the ones that run this planet. Management. Royal management. A prince and a princess does not train just to be beautiful. They train how to run the kingdom. That's the first and foremost job, right? And if they don't do a good job, someone else is going to want to come and take their job forcibly, right? That's what Satan did. He took forcibly the earth by deception, not by war. He lost that war when he was cast down to earth. Two-thirds of the angelic armies led by Michael, the archangel, defeated a third of the rogue angels, and they were cast down here. And I thought, well, God, why'd you have to bring them to my planet? And he said, because this is a special planet. This is where I'm breeding my royal sons and daughters to rule and reign with me. That's you. That's me. But we don't see ourselves in that light yet. As the total revelation that he wants us to have. So I'm going to give you a glimpse of how God sees us tonight. I'm going to show you who you are meant to be to a greater degree because he wants us to take it up another notch. And he reminded me of a Christian video clip that I had seen years ago, and many of you probably have as well. And it's used as an evangelistic tool. The producer of this clip had an incredible revelation of the Heavenly Father's perspective of the sacrifice needed to rescue us, okay? To make a way, to make a plan when plan A went, you know, not the way that he knew was going to happen, but he still gave Adam a chance and Adam blew it. And so he had to have B, you know, Jesus to come as form of man to complete the salvation plan so we can get back to the way to the Heavenly Father. So think of yourself looking at a movie screen right now. And there's a man and he's the bridge master. And he's the one that, you know, if I can remember it right, you know, the bridges, sometimes they go up and down. And then when they come back, they have to make sure they're right so that the train track and the train can go across it. you know, and that's an important job, right? Can't fall asleep at the job. One day he decided to bring his little son, like he was about 4 or 5 years old. Daddy, daddy, I want to go to work with you. No, you're too little. Daddy, daddy, I want to go. Finally, he says, okay, you're big enough. He's like, yay. So he goes with dad, and there's this booth with glass all around. He says, stay here. No matter what, you must stay in this booth, or I won't take you. Okay, okay. This, you know, and I'm ad-libbing a little bit. So he goes in the, and the boy's all happy sitting on dad's lap, and, you know, he lowers the bridge, brings it down, brings it up, brings it down, trains go by, and something happened where the dad had to go out on the tracks and, you know, make sure it was even or something, and the little boy left the booth. He disobeyed dad, and he's wandering, and he's now in the middle of the tracks. The dad doesn't know. He goes back to his station. He knows the train's about to come, and he's looking around for the son, and he sees the train coming down, the son in the way of the train. He could have time to go grab his son, get out of the booth, go grab his son and rescue his son. But then the train would go off the tracks and hundreds of people would go off the cliff and die. And then you see the train and people are on the train reading the newspaper, smoking a cigarette, having a bit of whiskey, cajoling over here, you know, sleeping over there, just doing whatever they do. Not knowing this boy might get killed, not knowing that they could go over this bridge and get killed. They're just doing their own thing. They have no clue death is around the corner. They have no clue that their time might be up. They're just having a great time, watching movies, listening to music, dancing, they're whatever. Each, you know, boxcar has different people doing different things. There's a birthday party over here. They have no idea the anguish of this bridge master. Save my son. Save the people on the train. I don't know. Save my son. Save the people on the train. He can only save one. Can't save both. Because he has to be at his station to make sure the tracks stay like this so the train goes like that, which would run over his son, or he would release the lever, nobody would be manning it, and they would go off the tracks, and he could grab his son. And this guy loves his son so much, his only son. His only son. But he believes in God, and he knows where his son's going to go. And he knows all those hundreds of souls would go straight to hell. And he held on to the lever so the train stayed straight on the tracks. And everyone in the theater was just crying. Do you want some of my Kleenex? And it was heart-wrenching. And then the message was, our Heavenly Father knew Jesus was going to pay a terrible price and die. He'd be separated from his Father. And they decided to do it. And Jesus did it in obedience, willfully. No one took his life. He laid it down for each of us, so that hundreds of people who are unaware in their sin would not go straight to hell and never have a way back to the Heavenly Father. What a perspective the Holy Spirit gave this producer of how the Heavenly Father felt. And so as we see this, we're reminded in the end times, how ready is our lamp for the end times? How ready are we to continue ministering to those that are just out there every day doing their own thing, planning to, I was at the beauty salon waiting for my hairdresser to wash my hair, and I was at the sink, and the lady next to me was getting her hair washed already, and she was talking to her hairdresser, and, you know, you're just really close to each other, and she said, oh, I bought these timeshares, and I want my son to go to Hawaii, and my daughter's going to go to so-and-so, and they're just planning. They have no idea. They don't go to church. Oh, on Sunday is the time that we, you know, do this or that, or people go golfing or whatever people talk about. You know, that's what they do. Or Sunday is wash their car day. Or they're clueless that we're in the end times. They're clueless that the earth is going to get burnt up. They're clueless that they have to make sure that they have an insurance, spiritual fire insurance. They don't have it. But when they're born, when you're born again, you do. That we are not going to go to hell if we're born again and spirit-filled, and if we are hearers and doers, and if we're disciples and continue in the word. But there's two types of Christians, Pastor Joshua teaches us. The ones that are born again and the ones that are disciples, the ones that remain in the word. And we're going to go look at a story real quick in Matthew 25, the parable of the wise and the foolish. And I do not want to be the foolish in the end times. We could choose to be at any church in the world. We've been offered associate pastors, positions at many huge, large churches to open up our own church under huge denominations, been offered to work with Pastor Cho himself. God led us here. Those are great ministries, but this is a great ministry also. Gideon was a few good men, and they changed the world. And that's what ABC is doing. So this is where we want to be for the end times, in the right place at the right time. Chapter 25 of Matthew, we're going to read the whole thing. I have the New King James here. Starting in verse 1, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. So it's like Christians waiting for Jesus to return on the second coming. Verse 2, now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Doesn't it sound like the rapture? Go out to meet your king. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. That means they lit them up. But there was something in there to keep the wick going. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. And some of them said, are you kidding me? No, that they said that. I would have said that. Anyway, it says, but the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. So who was ready? And who wasn't ready for the end times? Okay? Verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. So they weren't prepared. They went to prepare and it was too late. So they are going to be left behind. The bridegroom came and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. And the door was what? Shut. Does that sound familiar with Noah's Ark? Who shut the door of the Ark? God himself. When people say, oh, there's grace. God'll let me in when the door's shut. Not this time. And you got to know when that is. Okay? And we don't want to be shut out, right? We want to be inside. It's like Someone said, I'm getting on the plane. I said, you can get on it. I'm getting in it. Because when that door shuts, I want to be inside. Okay, verse 11. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. They're banging on the door, right? Verse 12. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Verse 13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. You don't know the day or hour, but if you're always prepared, it doesn't matter, right? You're ready. And so let's take a look at our lamps. That to me is like, how much anointing do we have filled up inside the temple of God? So that in the end times, we could really hear his voice and we could get a really good signal. Because when you juice up your cell phone and it is on 100% battery power, you can get strong signals anywhere with your Wi-Fi and your data usage. Now, your battery goes low, and it goes so low that, say, it's 15%, it's in the yellow. Now it's going into the red to 5%. You cannot make a phone call. You could try. You could keep dialing all you want. It goes bloop because there's no power to hook on to the data. You need power. And so then all of a sudden the battery goes out and everything is black like this. So that phone's not going to do you any good, is it? It's just right now going to be like a piece of nothing, empty. There's no power in here. So it does me no good. Why am I going to think that we're any different than this cell phone? That if I'm not full of the Holy Ghost, how am I going to hear when the bridegroom comes? How am I going to know where he's at or what he's doing or how is he going to find me if my signal's too weak? Because then he can't find my GPS. What kind of signals are you emitting? Strong signals to heaven or weak ones? And are we going to be like the five virgins whose lamps didn't have enough oil to sustain them the whole night? They ran out. And they did not have in those days those battery charged cell phone chargers that you could throw on your pocket in your purse. If you go to Starbucks, you could use theirs. We got to stay plugged in. We've got to be powered up at all times, and we have to be full of the anointing. Now, our friend that just died was an associate pastor at a church, love him dearly, got offended and left. And he was in and out of churches, didn't go for a long time, church searching, started a ministry, but it wasn't a church. So when you minister, you're giving out your anointing. You're draining your battery. See, where's the recharging ourselves? We're taught at ABC, you must be in church 2 to 3 times a week to recharge ourselves with the anointing because that's the only thing that breaks the yoke of bondage. And he was not that old, and he had a suddenly, and he died. And I thought to myself, do I want to be like that, leaving a family to fend for themselves? Or do I want to be strong in the end times to fight for my family, to get other people saved so they don't run off the train track and go off the cliff? Do I want to warn people so they could have the opportunity to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior? Do I want to warn my family that even Christians can fall in the end times? You know, when we go to 1 Thessalonians 2, Verse 1, it says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one," what? "Deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first." Who's falling away, do you think? The virgins that didn't have oil in their lamp. The Christians that weren't full of the Holy Ghost. So they couldn't hear the voice of God accurately and were deceived. "And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Antichrist is going to reign, and they're going to follow him because he's going to be very charismatic, and they're going to think he's the savior of the earth. Matthew 24, and we're going to start in verse 4. "And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you." So isn't he teaching them not to be those that fall away, right? He's teaching us. "For many will come in my name, saying that I am the Christ, and will deceive many." How will you know? Because when your lamp is full and you're full of oil and the Holy Spirit is very strong inside of you, you will hear him clearly. You have a good signal. It's not, "Can you hear me yet?" Right? You'll have a clear signal. You know the voice of your good shepherd, and other voices you shall not follow. He will not let you follow them if you are abiding in him and you are full of the anointing. You can't be deceived if you are full of the word of God and continue in that word. That's why we have school. We have the ABC Bible College, and we're teaching School of Dominion, because we don't want you to be dominated by the Antichrist. You will have dominion on this earth, things above the earth, things below the earth, because that's who you were called to be, as kings and priests of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who you are. That's who we're training. That's why we're privileged as instructors to teach you, the elect of God. Those that want to be the very elect will achieve that through learning how. Amen? Verse 6, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my sake," my name's sake, the name of Jesus, in other words. And verse 10, "And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another." We have to guard against offense. We have to get to a point where we're not offended, because that opens the door to the devil. Verse 11, "Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Verse 15, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads this, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those that are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. And then there will be a great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened, because he doesn't want the elect to suffer that long. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For the false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Even Christians will be deceived. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. Because see, your lamp would be so full, the Holy Spirit will tell you. Okay? It'll be confirmation. Verse 27, for as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Verse 30, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power. With what? Power. And what? Great glory. Not just regular glory. Great glory. Verse 31, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his who? Elect from the four winds and from one end of the earth to the other. Now, that is going to be a fun day. For the Christians whose lamps are full of the Holy Ghost. Now, the Lord doesn't have me share this all the time, but he told me to tell you. I guess maybe he gave me these experiences so I could tell you, so you can have them too. We need to duplicate Jesus. We need to emulate whatever God does for one, he'll do for all. He doesn't have favorites, okay? So it's just for an example. That's why he gives us different experiences, so we could all rejoice with one another's praise report and say to ourselves, I want that too, right? And so one day I was just worshiping and worshiping and worshiping, and I got so lost in worship. I was just singing to the Lord, and Jesus appears to me a lot. And then he speaks to my mind. He doesn't speak to me like a conversation, but he'll converse with me in my mind, like telepathy, mind to mind. And I always thought everybody could hear the voice of God. He gives me instructions, and I do them, and he'll tell me, he'll just talk to me, okay? So one day I was on the couch, and I was single at the time, and I was going to Bible college, and all of a sudden, I was in the New Jerusalem, and I looked out the window of the building I was in, and I saw this great city that he had already built, and it was beautiful, and it was actually shimmering like diamonds off the brick, like Jerusalem stone, you know, but just glimmering, just like if you ever been to the Sea of Galilee, it looks like diamonds are shimmering off the water. It looks just like that. And I thought I was there for just a few minutes. But I could see the whole panorama. It's like he took me there to show me it. And then when I awakened, I was gone for 6 hours. Time stopped for earth time because I was taken into eternity. And there was such peace there. I didn't want to leave. There was that peace that passes all understanding. And the very atmosphere, you could feel the love of God. There were no screens on the windows. It was a big arched window. There were no, like, flies trying to come in or mosquitoes trying to bite me or anything like that. Everything was just in harmony, peaceful. It was just beautiful. And that's what we have to look forward to. See, we have a hope. We shouldn't be in fear. The era of fear that God warned us about through Pastor Joshua is because the earth is in fear and everything that he's prophesied is coming to pass. But it's for the Christians to rejoice the coming of our King. And then at another time, I was worshiping again, worshiping and worshiping. The anointing was just very heavy. And all of a sudden, my body started to change into a glorious body. And then I was taken up into the heavens. And it was a preview of the rapture. And I thought to myself, oh, it's real. It's really happening. It's happening to me right now. Oh my goodness. Oh my. Oh my. And I experienced what it would be like in the rapture, this elation of going to meet my King, of being called up like an elevator. But we didn't need an elevator. But you're called up, literally, because your lamp is full of the Holy Ghost. He could find you and call you up, and you'll be ready. And you'll go in with the bridegroom. And we will be with him. Not so we could bask. It's for warfare. To take back the earth and dominate it and replenish the earth so that we can fulfill the work of the Heavenly Father. You know, people are under pressure. And when you're under pressure, what's inside is squeezed out. That's what it means. It's like getting vice grip and just like you put it on each side of a ding-dong, and guess what comes out? The cream inside. And so like Pastor Matthew gives a testimony that he knew he was really born again because he used to really have a foul mouth. And one time a crate or something fell on his toes, and that would really hurt. But he saw what was inside was changed. He saw that what came out was not a foul mouth anymore. He saw that what came out was the Word of God, the love of God, because he had filled his lamp full, that when he needed it, it was there for him. And I want to be so changed, and I want to ready myself that I keep hearing ringing in my ears. Pastor Josh was teaching. Everything you do, what eternal value does it have? I will preach this over and over and over and over. What eternal value does it have? I have reordered my steps so that he used to say to me, garbage in, garbage out, as a computer expert. I didn't even know what the heck he was talking about. I'm like, I took out my garbage last week. The trucks picked it up. And he's like, no, no, in computers, listen, in computers, what you put into the computer, it can only spit out. It can't give you something better than what you put in. So if in an emergency, see, we have emergency supplies. Now, if you don't have emergency water yet, you need to start getting it. Because what if you go to the store and because of the drought gets so bad that the store is sold out of water, and the water is so contaminated with pharmaceuticals and amoebas and microbes and parasites, what are you going to do? Moses didn't have to buy a filter. Did he? He didn't need money to go to the groceries when he was in the backside of the desert, did he? He operated on a full lamp. He wasn't even born again or spirit filled, but the Spirit of God was on him. It was the example for us that in the end times, what we should be doing, greater things, because we do have that new covenant. We could do greater miracles, greater power than those guys. They are our examples, right? What should we be afraid of? Nothing. Nothing the enemy can do against you if you know who you are in Christ. It shall by no means hurt you, okay? So how are we going to get our lamp so full and stay that way so that we are performing miracles, that we are taking dominion over our environment, that if there are no firefighters Well, that's okay. I've got a legion of angels. They're just put that fire out over there. I just sent them today over up on the ridge. They're doing their job. Once they're dispatched, they're doing it. See? So you want ants out of your house? I just commanded them to go out and they left. We have to take dominion. I still have to try the dolphin trick. I still want to do the dolphin, get those sunglasses or glasses, whatever they were. You know, I want to, it's fun to practice, you know. I hear the testimonies of the students in School of Dominion about fixing their plumbing, and I thought, gee, I'm going to try that one now. You know what I mean? And then their neighbors are knocking on their door. They want their plumbing fixed for free, too. That's the way to evangelize, you know. Yoel did that with one of her neighbors. So, see, we are getting our lamps full and maintain it full. But I'm not there yet. I'm not near where I need to be. How much garbage am I still putting into my spirit, into my mind, into my ears, into my eyes? What secular things do I still befriend the world with? Loving entertainment, loving movies. Of course, we only watch PG or PG-13 now. But could those 2 hours have been spent more in worship and get translated again somewhere else? Now, I'm really getting a hunger for that. Like, I want more of those experiences. But it's not going to happen if I just keep watching movies. What is that going to do for me? Is that eternal value? What is it doing for me? Even watching Christian shows, what value is it? Is it preparing me for the end times? This is the only place I know of that I am learning about the end times and the right preparation. I'm wasting my time with a lot of other stuff. So I have to see, where am I going to invest something that is worth more than money? Our time. Can't ever take it back. We only have one shot of using this minute now. Because when the days are shortened and the Antichrist is reigning, we need to be already in power. Do you see what I'm saying? We already need to know what to do, how to do it. And I saw this cool movie. It's one of those Revelation movies. And these Christian prisoners escaped because they were going to behead them, you know. And there was this pastor, and his name was Joshua in the movie. And he rescues those Christians, and they all come to a city where they're able to then evangelize still the world and everything. And whole bunch of cop cars or, you know, with their sirens, trying to follow the getaway car and try to get these prisoners back and behead them. And then they stop, and they're at the meeting place where they're supposed to meet this pastor. And he says, stand still. But the police are like a block away. They're now half a block away. They're now like right in front of us. And he says, stand still and be quiet. And they pass, zoom, 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 zoom. They were invisible. I'm like, I want to do that. Doesn't that sound fun to you? You see, how do I get to do that if I just keep doing secular stuff? I have to spend more time worshiping. I have to spend more time in the throne room. I have to have more hunger and thirst after righteousness. I have to study my word more, and I have to spend more time with Jesus, and I spend more time with the Holy Spirit and the Heavenly Father. I need to get more full so that my lamp is so full. My temple of God is so full of joy. That's why God imparted that spirit of joy, full of joy, rejoicing, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And now he wants us to just keep going up to the next notch. And I'm going to tell you, God wants you to be happy and rich. I was going to talk about this. I did not collaborate with Pastor Joshua. He was talking about, do you think that it's, you know, to be poor is how you are supposed to be humble? Some people think that it's, you know, a sin to be rich. Well, Jesus was very rich. And either if he didn't do the fish and the loaves miracle, he had the money to just pay. Because the disciples didn't bat an eye when he said, let's feed all these thousands of people. They didn't come and say, Master, where are we getting the money? They didn't say that, did they? But they wanted to know where they were going to get the food from because they weren't close to a store. Think about it. If they didn't have the money, wouldn't they be asking, how do you want me to buy this? With what funds? You don't need a treasurer for your ministry if there's no money to put in the treasury, right? They hired a whole accountant, Judas. And that very greed corrupted him because his heart did not maintain itself pure. His lamp did not stay full of oil. And so we need to see ourselves as who God wants us to be, not just with full of oil, but full of money. Because you cannot do the gospel. You cannot do your ministry without money. Do you get happy when you get a birthday card with 20 bucks in there? But you get happier when it's 100. And when it's $1,000, it's really fun when it's cash too. And then we get $1,000 offerings, and the person that God uses to bless us says to me, it's more fun for me than it is for you. I said, what? Because, you know, he goes, I love seeing God's blessings bless people. And it gives him joy to be a blessing. I said, I want to be like that. He gives $100 tips when he goes to restaurants with a track, Jesus loves you. You don't think that makes an impression on that waiter or waitress? And so God wants us to have the wealth of the wicked that's laid up for us, the just, to be used for him and his kingdom and his glory. Not to, you know, think of how I'm going to use this money like Judas. No, he wants vessels of honor. And you have come and consecrated yourself. You have come and said, Lord, I'm going to make sure that I'm sin free. Lord, I'm going to be alive and remain. Lord, I want to be a part of something big. Lord, I want to be raptured. Lord, I want to do miracles, signs, and wonders. I want to have fun casting out demons. I want to see, you know, people who have no limbs or legs grow out. I want to be that. I want to do that. Someone that's dying, I want to just help them not have a hospital bill and just be healed. Boom, pop out of their bed. That's fun. It's fun when that man was dying of HIV. I laid hands on him. And he was deaf and blind and had leukemia. And they already picked out his funeral suit, was hanging up. And he sat up and he saw me and he heard me and he spoke. And then he went and finished Bible college. That's fun. See? Let's have more fun with God. Because he wants each of us to do this. There's no favorites. But how full is my lamp is how many fun experiences I'm going to have, and I want a lot more fun, right? I want to keep going and going and going. And the Lord wants me to tell you to get ready for that wealth exchange. He said to me that he has chosen us. And I had this vision that when we have ABC staff meeting, the Lord showed me and took me into heaven. And all the elders were there with Jesus in a war room. And they were planning for the end times. And they were planning for his second coming. And they were looking at ABC staff. And they were conferring. And they said, we will lead them. Whenever they have a staff meeting, we will train them. And Jesus himself said he will be our trainer. That's why he comes here personally. He doesn't go to every church. We are under his encampment. He is the leader of our military in the Christian realm. And he has chosen not just our, we're not the only church, but we are a chosen church to be with him in the end times. And this is a special call. I don't want to be any other place than this place to get ready for the end times. Because no one else has pioneered it because it hasn't ever happened. But our leader is Jesus. He's chosen Pastors Joshua and Sarah, and we are going to follow them because he's chosen them and speaks to them, and they speak into our lives, and then we can speak into other people's lives. This is the best place on the planet in my book. And the Lord said to tell you that to speak into your lamp, that the oil of the Holy Spirit is going to convey through the prophetic word of these scriptures, it's going to fill each and every one of you up to the point where you are so powerful in dominion, not just of your own body for complete healing, not just of your own home, your own business, your own family, but over kingdom finances, because he has counted you ABCers faithful and he can trust you with much. To whom much is given, much is required. And what is required now is he wants us to take it up a notch and release the things that easily beset us that are secular, that are things that are of not eternal value, things that will not help expand the kingdom of God or get us ready or more prepared. He wants us to release it, to consecrate everything that we have, to give it to him, that we are only going to please our Heavenly Father and do only that which pleases him. And so this is what he wants me to speak into your life. Deuteronomy 8:18, in the name of Jesus, God has given each of you the power to get well. In the name of Jesus, Deuteronomy 28:12, God blesses the work of your hands. In the name of Jesus, Mark 10:29 through 30, that God gives you a hundredfold return on all your gospel investments. In the name of Jesus, Mark 11:24, that you have believed, therefore now you are receiving the kingdom resources in order to expand his kingdom as he has called you to be his ambassadors. Matthew 18:19, in the name of Jesus, God agrees with you and it is done. All your bills have been paid. All your debts, because Jesus paid for the Jubilee, and that's our new covenant. We don't have to wait for a Jubilee. We live Jubilee. Your debts are paid in Jesus' name. Joshua 1:8, in the name of Jesus, we prosper and are successful. In the name of Jesus, Philippians 4:6, with thanksgiving, you have let your request be made known unto God, and he has answered you. Philippians 4:19, in the name of Jesus, God has already supplied all of your need through Christ Jesus, but you have not reached up to get it. Take it up a notch. Fill up your lamp. It's waiting for you. Luke 6:38, in the name of Jesus, give more and more will be given unto you. Plant bigger seeds. Bring more tithes and more offerings into this house, because this house is a holy house and this house is called of God to do a great work for this world. We have a big call to warn the body of Christ. We have a big call to prepare people for the end times, and God is pouring in the funds. And if you want to be in on that investment, plant your seed and invest in the right place where the return is going to be big. Amen. 2 Corinthians 8:9, in the name of Jesus, Jesus became poor that he has made each of us rich. 2 Corinthians 9:8, in the name of Jesus, we have been made self-sufficient, not dependent on anyone else but God, and abounding in every good work. In the name of Jesus, Isaiah 48, the word of God will stand in your life forever. In the name of Jesus, Psalm 37:4, for God has given each one of us all the desires of our hearts, because he has planted his desire in your heart, and it's become your desire for him. Psalm 34:10, in the name of Jesus, we do not want or lack for any good thing, for there's nothing broken and nothing lacking in our lives because of the covenant of shalom that is operating greatly in our lives now. 3 John 2, in the name of Jesus, God wishes for us to prosper and be in health even as our soul is prospering. Psalm 35:27, In the name of Jesus, we are God's servants, and he takes pleasure in our prosperity. He wants you to live that and be the prosperous ones so that you can be kingdom investors. Romans 8:32, in the name of Jesus, God freely and graciously has given us all things. Galatians 3:13 through 14, in the name of Jesus, the blessings of Abraham's are each one of ours. Isaiah 45:2 through 3, in the name of Jesus, God has given us hidden treasure. In the name of Jesus, Matthew 6:33, God's righteousness has been given unto us. In the name of Jesus, Proverbs 23:20, we are faithful and we've been blessed. John 10:10, in the name of Jesus, you have life and life more abundantly. In the name of Jesus, Luke 1:37, nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible for God, and God is in you, and God will use you to do the impossible. Malachi 3:10, in the name of Jesus, God has proven himself with, because you are a tither, he rebukes the devourer on your behalf. Job 36:11, in the name of Jesus, we obey God, and because of that, we spend our days in prosperity. Ephesians 3:20, in the name of Jesus, God promises to do for each of us exceedingly, abundantly, more than we can ask, hope, or think. Malachi 10 through 12, in the name of Jesus, you are a tither and have all the rights of a tither, and the windows of heaven have now been opened up and poured out on each of us now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, the windows of heaven have been opened up and is pouring out to each of us. In the name of Jesus, the windows of heaven have been opened up and is pouring out to each one of us. In the name of Jesus, the windows of heaven have been opened up and are pouring out unto us blessings that are running to overtake each and every one of us. God has called you to be the head, not the tail. God has called you to be above and not beneath. God has called you to be the kingdom warriors, that everything that you put your hands to prospers. God has called you to be the ones that take dominion, and that you will bring miracles, signs, and wonders to those that need it. God has said that you will bring the manna. God has said that you will make the bitter water sweet. God has said and has declared and has chosen each one of you to be his representative here on earth as ambassadors of Christ. And there is no shortage in his kingdom. His arm is not short. And he says, reach up and take it now. Reach up and take it now. Reach up and receive everything that he is providing for you to be equipped for an ambassadorship. Equipped right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, right now. We thank you, Lord, right now on the internet. You're feeling that anointing right now. Reach up, reach up, reach up. The anointing. He's filling our lamps. He's filling our lamps with the oil. More of the Holy Spirit. More, because it's in there. And he is flooding us. Hallelujah. With confidence, with boldness. There's no demon in hell that wants to be around an ABC-er, because you caused them to run away from you. You have been chosen to walk as Jesus on this earth, as his representative. And when the devils look at you, they say, I see Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, right now for that anointing. It's breaking yokes of bondage right now. Poverty mentality, unworthiness, go, go in the name of Jesus. Fear, go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Insecurities, go in the name of Jesus. You lying devil of cowardice and fear, go. Get off the people of God in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Set your people free, Lord. Set them free. Thank you, Lord, for opening up the eyes of the understanding, flooding it with light, showing them who they truly are in Christ, kings and priests, not king or priest, you're king and a priest. Everything you do is successful. You're not a failure. You are successful. Nothing can stop you in the name of Jesus. Nothing, because God has ordained it. God has called you, and nothing he does fails, and everything he makes is good. You are good And you are even gooder because you have the Holy Spirit with you. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Boldness. Boldness. Boldness come. Boldness come. You are going to speak in front of people. You are going to be able to do anything he tells you to, whenever, wherever, with whoever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for bringing us up that next notch. Thank you, Lord, that as we dedicate ourselves to you today to put down the things that do not help us to get closer to you. And those of you that want to do that, pray this prayer with me. It's not a mandatory prayer. It's those that want to consecrate yourself to a higher degree so that we will be like the warriors on the front line that we're supposed to be, not in relaxation mode, not in normal mode. We're not normal people. We are ambassadors of God. We are warriors of God in the army of God. Let's all stand up, and those of you that want to pray this prayer with me, repeat after me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I repent of doing anything that distracted me from advancing in the kingdom of God. I repent of being so busy doing good things for God that I didn't spend enough time with God. Filling up my lamp with more anointing and spending more time in the Word, in the Holy of Holies, consulting with the Captain of the Lord of Hosts on a daily basis. I repent of being so self-centered and so selfish to only ask for things that I need and I want. And now I want to pray for what God wants in my life and use me to intercede for others. Use me to bring others to know Jesus. Use me to minister to others. And know without a doubt that all my needs are taken care of. I want to please the Heavenly Father and do only that which He says to do. I want to be sin-free. I want to be perfected. I want to be like my Jesus. I want to be a ready virgin for my bridegroom and my lamp to stay full. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, let me give you a suggestion. Write down Psalm 110, verse 1. Psalm 110, verse 1. Psalm 110, verse 1 says, "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand, until I make your enemies your footstool." That scripture is used in the Bible 4 times, perhaps 5 times, 4 or 5 times. In every place it's used, it's truly important. If you said that prayer, and if you have got some questions about what Pastor Karen taught tonight, meditate on that scripture. Perhaps look up all 4 or 5 of them and see how they fit into the end time scenario. And think about it. Jesus even discussed that in one place. If God is sitting at his throne and Jesus is sitting at his right hand, what exactly is the Father saying to the Messiah? It's one of the contexts in which Jesus discussed it. Think about it. Meditate on it. When you get the answer to that, you'll understand why Pastor Karen and the rest of the leaders here are so excited about the end times.